The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
Welcome those on the broadcast and those that are listening on the radio station tonight. Tonight's Wednesday night Bible study, so we want to get in the Word of God tonight. I might do a little bit of preaching, but want to try to do some teaching tonight where we bring the Scriptures to life, that we enhance and we talk about the Word of God, that we may learn and we may be encouraged. I hope some of you were encouraged on Wednesday, on Sunday. I pray that you're encouraged today, because that's what we want to do. We want to be encouragers and lifting up people that they would grow closer to God. Amen? Each day, we should make it our aim to grow closer to the Lord. Amen? And we want to do that. We want to see people coming to know Christ. We want to see people walking closer with the Lord. We want to see people activating their faith. Amen? We want to be able to help lift those in need, those that may be in a ditch, those that may be hurting, those that may be going through a struggle, that we would be examples to someone to reach anyone for Jesus. Amen? How many of you want to reach someone and see lives changed? Because He changed us. Amen? He helped us get through those things in our life so we can be encouragers to those that are listening. Amen? So in the Word of God, we were in Psalm 121 on Sunday morning, is where we start out. But at the start of Psalm 122, there's a verse that many of you may know. And the Bible says in Psalm 122, it says, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go into the house of the Lord.'" And my question is, are you glad? Amen. Amen. All right. We're getting there. Are you, Facebook Live, are you glad? Because we want to encourage you to get in the house of the Lord if you're able and if you're in this area. If you're not in this area, God bless you. I'm glad that you made your choice to listen to the Word of God tonight and that you may be encouraged. We're glad to see you. Share the broadcast. Like, let us know you're here. If you have a prayer request, you have a need, let us know that you're watching, that we can pray for you if you have a need. And be encouraged this day in the Word of God. Amen? 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 It's time that if we're not ashamed of the gospel, it's time for us to get glad and start showing our faith. Amen? Because we're not camouflage Christians. We're not designed to blend in. Hello? We're designed to stand out with great expectation that others may see what God has done in our life. Amen? And so I hope that you're glad. I hope that every Sunday morning these doors are open. I hope that you're glad. When it's Wednesday night and time for Bible study, I hope that you're glad. When you wake up in the morning, I hope that you're glad that you've had another day. We're not guaranteed tomorrow, right? Amen? So Pastor Burkhart used to teach this, and he would tell, before his feet even hit the floor, he'd have his eyes to the Lord, thanking Him for another day, another opportunity, another breath in his lungs. Because one day, we found out that he took his last breath, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen? So while we have breath, let's use it wisely, and let's be encouragers and get in this Word and help people. Amen? So we start off in Psalm 121. And I asked the question on Sunday morning. The Bible says that, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help." And that's where we jump start today, is where does your help come from? In your walk, it will be, light will be shined on that. It will be enhanced. Where you put your faith at? Where do you go to in the time of need? It will become very apparent who you turn to when there's trouble. It's easy to walk for God when everything's going right. It's easy to pray. It's easy to give God praise. It's easy to thank Him. It's easy to get through life when all the bills are paid and everybody's healthy and no one's having allergies and no one's having problems and no one's sick and there's no COVID and life's good. There's no heart problems. There's nothing going on. But can you still thank Him and praise Him through the storm? Amen? It's a really big test. It's a really big test because this question gets to the harder matter of where do you put your faith? Who do you call on in your time of need? And the writer here says, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So if He made heaven and earth, He can surely take care of any of the problems that we have. We can trust in Him. He's faithful. Amen, church? When sometimes we're not so faithful. Sometimes we look to the left and look to the right. We look down and we look to the side and we put ourselves down. Instead of encouraging ourselves and looking in the mirror, we say we have lack. We say, I can't do this, I can't do that. And the reality is the Lord is our help. So if He made the heavens and the earth, why don't we seek after Him for help in our time of need? And I want to encourage you today, that part of it was Sunday, was to encourage those that have not made Jesus Lord of their life, that they would get their eyes lifted up off their problems onto the Lord. And those that are Christians, that we would get our eyes fixed on the Lord and not allow the problems, the winds, the storms of life to cause us to stray or wander, as we read in the Scriptures on Sunday, where Peter was walking on the water with Jesus and the wind began to blow. And how many times can we relate to this Sunday school message? So simple, but as adults now, in our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s plus, do we find ourselves reviewing these Scriptures that when the storms hit, are we still steadfast? Psalm 51 says, and David said, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew me a steadfast spirit. What was David doing? Excuse me. What was David doing? He was reviewing himself. Right? If you're a Christian and you're praying to God, oh God, create in me a clean heart, it tells me that there's something going on. Hello? I'll get you thinking. Because here today, I see a whole lot of Christians that don't self-evaluate anymore. And if you're going to be, and if you're going to endure to the end to be saved, hello? We as Christians, I think, owe it to ourselves in our daily walk, our daily prayer time, to evaluate our hearts before God. Hello? Because some are walking around today with a heart condition and don't even know it. Can you imagine living your whole life? Life's good, you got trucks, cars, family, everything's good, and only to find out that you're walking around with a heart condition? No one can see it. It's hidden real well. It doesn't keep me from doing anything. I can still go to work, I can still go to school, I can still work on vehicles, I can still whatever that we do in our free time. But let there be a problem come up in our lives, and our heart condition will shine forth. The stresses of life, the where we put our faith, who do we call upon? Do we call on material things for help, or our jobs, our families, or do we call upon the Maker in the heaven of earth? You see, David was called a man after God's own heart, right? Did he sin? Yeah. I talked about it a few weeks ago. How would you like to have all your sins recorded in the book for everyone to read? But yet, we're going to be evaluated one day if we don't get those sins under the blood. judgment's coming if we don't repent and turn of those heart conditions. David was called a man after God's own heart, and I struggle with this because I'm like, he sinned. But yet, when he sinned, he got right with God. He goes, Lord, forgive me. Create in me a pure heart. And my question, part of tonight's teaching is it's a question, but it's also, I think, a desire that says, as ones that should be seeking after the Lord, as we're seeking the Lord, are we also asking the Lord for direction, for help, for creating this clean heart that we may live righteous before God? That if there's sin in our life, that we would self-evaluate and say, Lord, forgive me. Instead of trying to cover it up, no one sees it. No one sees my secret sins. I'm covered up. It's my own little heart condition, and no one sees it but me. But the reality is that heart condition can affect others. It can affect your home. It can affect your family. And, you know, it could even affect the church. Do you know that? It can have an influence on the people around you. And the question is, who are we going to seek this day? The Bible talks about seeking the Lord, and Pastor was talking about, I don't know if you watched it a few weeks ago, but he did a video, and he gave us a word, if you're listening to it. And I'm going to read part of it so that you can get a hold of this and see where I'm going today in today's teaching, because there's, as Christians, we can't just sit back and be lazy boy Christians. As a true follower of Christ, I think we owe it to God as we pray that we seek with all of our heart to know Him closer. And like Peter, I believe I stand before you as one who's drifted from that. I think I'm still learning from great, mighty women of God around me how to seek the Lord in a closer way, how to flow in His presence, how to worship Him at a level that draws His presence, and you see the gifts and callings of men in operation. You see the Holy Spirit ministering to people through song and through word, and there's a learning that goes on from those that I'm watching and say, I'm watching what they do, I'm watching what they say, because it can teach us something. And I'm going to go into Jeremiah 29:11. And we didn't cover this on Sunday, but when I read this word, I think this will jump off the pages at you. So I'm trying to teach tonight, and those of you watching on Facebook, trying to teach something. On Sunday, you got lifted up, encouraged, and preaching, but tonight I'm trying to draw you into the goodness of God. And in Jeremiah 29:11, a very popular verse that people quote, but look at the depth of it, and it's going to get real deep real fast. And the Word of God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope." He wants the very best for you and I. He doesn't think evil things about you. He doesn't think bad things about you. His thoughts are of peace and to give you a future and give you hope. And you know, as Christians, we can provide hope to people in need right now. That's His intention, is to provide hope. There's people trying to steal our hope and steal our joy. But God thinks this towards us. And He says, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you." Talk about a safe place with God. Look what else it says in verse 13. "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Hello? All your heart. You see, as Christians, you and I, we've made a covenant with the Lord. We have turned from our ways. We've repented. We've turned from our ways. We've made a covenant with Him that says we're going to walk for you, speak. I'm going to go where you say to go. I'm going to speak what you tell me to say. It says, search me with all your heart. So, married couples, how well does it work if you're not 100% committed to your spouse? If I have part of my heart for someone else and part of my heart for my wife, how well is that going to work? 50-50? 80-20? 75-25? About 90-10? That won't be so bad. Only 10% somewhere else. That wouldn't be so bad. Come on, give me a break tonight. 10% wouldn't be so bad. That's like saying just a little bit of poisoning ain't so bad either. You see? It says with all your heart. So the question I have to ask, and David is self-examining himself, saying, hey, create in me a pure heart. In other words, he recognized there's something in his heart that wasn't right. And he was self-evaluating and say, Lord, cleanse my heart. Fix my heart condition. And my fear is that there's so many Christians and people of faith that say they're Christian but have not had a heart change. There's a head knowledge. I believe in Jesus. Got it. You believe in God. I got it. I see that you pray. You put it on Facebook. You're praying. I got it. But where's your relationship with Jesus Christ? Where is our walk? Where is our compassion to seek after God? Am I, as a pastor, am I seeking after God as hard as I should be? As a man or woman of God, leaders of your homes, are you seeking after God, or does the world have a percentage of you? Does our jobs have a more percentage of us than God? Does a relationship mean more to me here than it does my relationship with God? Because let me tell you, if God's not first in my life, I'm not going to be the man that I need to be for my wife. If God's not first in my life, I'm not going to be the dad I need to be for my son. So it's so important that we seek the Lord with all of our heart. And if the Lord doesn't have all of our heart, then guess what? You just went through an exam to see if your heart condition's okay. If the doors are open and you're not glad that the church is open, hello? If you're like, well, we got to go to Sunday night class. We got to go to church. Oh, it's Wednesday night Bible study. Here we go again. You know what that is? That's going through the motions of Christianity, and that's not seeking hard after God. That shows, that exposes our heart condition, whether we want to admit it or not, because we all get busy. We all do the things. We all got stuff going on. But it exposes our true heart condition. Are you seeking hard after God? Because if you want to see God moving in your life, if you want to see and God answer you and listen to you, we got to seek Him with all of our heart. Amen? It says, I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I've driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. Listen to what the Kingdom Dynamics says for this. Those of you who have the Spirit-Filled Life Bible. It says, seeking God in spiritual warfare. Face warfare. Throughout scriptures, we find repeated references to God's people seeking after Him. Excuse me. Implied in these passages is a quest for God that includes a level of intensity beyond what might be termed ordinary prayer. In this time we live in, I want to encourage you to step up your prayer life. I want to encourage you to step up your word time, whether in reading or in study or in audio. The word search, along with the phrase with all your heart, suggests an earnestness that borders on desperation. When's the last time we got before God and said, I'm not getting up till I hear from you, God? When's the last time we just poured out our hearts to God and said, Lord, I need you. I need you to move in this situation. Or if we got so comfortable, as we live in America and we got it so good, we got it so easy now, you know, the air conditioning's not cool enough. I'm not comfortable enough. If the heat's not high enough, I'm not warm enough. We've got it so good in America. It says borders on desperation. I'm thinking that David was one that was desperate for God. The word search suggests a following after or close pursuit of a desired objective. It also implies a diligence in the searching process. Hello? Can I encourage you today to seek hard after the Lord? Or seek Him more than you did yesterday? He says He'll answer you. He says, call on Him and I'll show you great and mighty things. Amen? Because you know what? In the days we live in, if your jobs, if your homes, if your families can get you so busy that you no longer pray, that you don't take the time and you just say, well, I'm just going to rely on what I know, and I don't prepare, I don't read the Word, and I don't study, that shows a heart condition. Why am I saying this? Because in the story we talked about on Sunday, Peter was walking with Jesus. Peter was doing what Jesus would do. Peter was on the water, had faith in the Word, but the storm and the wind and the things took him off course. Is it possible that the busy lives that we live drift us sometimes so busy that we forget about that seeking earnest prayer that we read about in the Scriptures? That we see our pastor. Amen? We see Pastor Sparks. Pastor Vanessa Sparks. We see them. We can tell they've been with Jesus. Amen? Can people tell that you've been with Jesus? Amen? You see, that's our mission. That's our goal. When you walk into a room or you're in a group of people, are you a light shiner? Or are you a Eeyore? Right? Amen? Are you here tonight? Okay. I'm going to make sure. Because in this teaching, if we're going to be light shiners, how can you be a light shiner if you have not been strong in your Word? If you've not been in prayer? How can you be an example? Because you know what? You'll find yourself on the rumble strips and find yourself in the low parts, and you might even just find yourself staying home. You might find yourself under a broom tree. Okay? Elijah, in 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah was a mighty man of God. You can read through that. We don't have time to get through there all tonight. We only got a few more minutes. Elijah was a mighty man of God in 1 Kings. And he was working in signs, miracles, wonders. Right? He saw a cloud the size of a man's hand. I mean, he prayed and people came to life. I mean, mighty man of God. I'm gonna have to go there for you so you can see where I'm trying to get you to. Because we've been talking about getting back to the Father's house. We've been talking about getting your look back. We've been talking about getting that fire back, getting that spark back, that igniter, that enthusiasm for God, where you're clapping for God, you're praising God, you're getting involved, you're not just going through the motions. And if I got to stand up here and dance and put on a show to get you excited, that's not it. The Word of God should get us excited. Seeking after the Lord and seeing Him move on our behalf and Him filling the atmosphere should get us excited. Flowing in that river of God where He just takes over and you start to walk into the depths and all of a sudden you just let Him have His way and you're just praising the Lord and worshiping. That should get us excited. Hello? But the concern I have is in this nation we live in, we have a whole bunch of people that are staying home and staying out of church. Hello? Are you here? They're under the broom tree of life. They're in the desert. You know what I'm talking about? I want to get there. If I can see with my glasses here. Go with me to 1 Kings. I'm going to read this to you. I want you to see something. Because on Sunday we were talking about how when Peter saw the winds, fear came in. And he began to sink, right? So go with me into 1 Kings 19. It says, and Ahab told Jezebel that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And look what it says. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life. A mighty man of God. Why? What had happened? What kind of power did this Jezebel have that this mighty man of God would go full circle from signs, miracles, and wonders, moving in the presence of God, but yet find himself running from his life from what this woman said? How does that happen? How can that happen in you and I's life? Well, let me tell you, there's a spirit involved here. There's an attack. And what you're going to see is you're going to see something radically change that can happen to you and I, just like what happened to Peter. We can get so busy, we can get our eyes off the Lord, and we begin to sink, and we need to cry out to the Lord. At the same time, we know people, as we're talking about this, coming back to the Father's house, that we're talking about getting your spark back. Here is leading up to the story of Elijah, where Elijah was a mighty man of God, and an incident happened and spun him out just like that. Now, if it can happen to a mighty man of God, Elijah, you and I should have our radar on, our binders going, so we can put aside the enemy darts. We should be seeking after the Lord and be looking out for one another. Hello? So I want to encourage you tonight through the Word of God that we be those that would help protect others, because what you're going to read here is a Jezebel spirit, a spirit that tries to take out the man or woman of God. It doesn't matter. Its whole purpose is to drive you away from God. It's more than sinking. This is different. With Peter, it was a sinking, Lord, help me, save me. He was walking with Jesus, took his eyes off, got right back right with Jesus. Here we have a situation of a mighty man of God, of a mighty man of God who got totally spun out. And we're like, well, that could never happen to me. Yes, it can. It can totally happen to you if you're not careful, if you're not praying, if you're not in your word, if you allow people to have an ear to you and you get turned in a certain direction. You're like, no, I just don't still buy it. Well, I didn't either. I apologize for the cough. Lord, I need you to take this cough away, so that I may preach your word effectively, that they may hear this message in Jesus' name. He runs for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. In verse 4, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, it's enough. Are you seeing the change? We went from mighty man of God. We're talking about seeking the Lord. We're talking about prayer. We're talking about encouraging one another. We're talking about lifting up one another. And here, this man of God went from miracle signs and wonders to all of a sudden, far worse than Peter. More than just falling off and drifting. this man is in dire straits and has placed himself in a deserted spot away from people because this Jezebel spirit had a hold on this person, and he ran for his life from what? Because of fear. What got into Peter? Fear created doubt. Doubts against faith. Here we have Elijah, who's a mighty man of God, now sitting down under a broom tree. And if you read in the scriptures, that a broom tree has deep roots. It can grow in dry places. And Elijah wanted to just end it. Look what he says. Look at the change. He goes from a mighty man of God to saying, and he prayed that he might die and said, it's enough. He not only didn't want the word anymore, he didn't need the word anymore. Now that's a bad place to be. How can this happen to a mighty man of God? Because you got to be on guard and watch for the attacks. It's one thing for us to get so busy and things going on, the storms of life and all the things, and crashing the waves that I was talking about on Sunday. Now I'm switching gears on you totally to take it to seeking the Lord. One way we're seeking the Lord in a manner that stays on course for him. Now I'm switching gears on you to saying seeking the Lord as a method of warfare against the enemy and the fiery darts that come against you, because those things are going to happen in your Christian walk. And I'm going to get you excited one way or another, because the thing is you got to be listening, because what you hear tonight you might just have to use really, really soon. The Lord would not give me a message, one, to warn you about staying steadfast and not being too busy, and yet also give me a message to give to you that says, beware of the fiery darts. Beware of the Jezebel spirits that will come against you in your home, that will try to attack you. And if you're not watching for this, boom. You know what happens? You find yourself staying at home. He is purposely going to hide under the broom tree. In other words, he's separating himself from the rest of the people. He's purposely taking himself out of the game. Do you see it? He's got himself convinced that I don't want this no more. I don't need this no more. I just might as well just stay here and die. That's not the speech that says you've been with Jesus. That is not in line with the Word of God. I'm above and not beneath. I'm a head, not the tail. I'm somebody in Christ Jesus. There's royal blood flowing through my veins. I've got a calling. I've got a mission. I've got a purpose. That's something you hear from a Christian. I want to go fellowship with my brothers and sisters. I want to praise the Lord. I don't need my pump primed anymore, because I am eagerly... Psalms 122, I was glad when they said unto us, let us go on to the Lord. So I was glad when I knew that they're going to get ready to pray. I was glad when they said, let's get ready to praise. I'm happy. I'm encouraged. But the heart conditions tell me that you need primed. If I got to prime you, a pastor has to prime you, Sister Ashley has to prime and say, come on, let's praise the Lord. No, we should be coming into this house ready and glad and saying, I get up in the morning, Sunday morning. Oh, I don't know. Sunday, Wednesday night. Ah, man, I got so much stuff to do. That's not the speech of one who's been with Jesus. That's not one that has the speech that says, I want others to join me and sit beside me. I may have started off a little slow, but I got to get you paying attention to me tonight, because there's going to be attacks coming up. The Lord wouldn't give me this if I wasn't to warn you that in your spiritual walk, be prepared for those that try to pull you away from the ministry. Amen. Those that are trying to keep you from coming to church. Those that try to keep you from activities in the church. Those people that are planting those seeds and going, well, you know what they did here, and they did that. That's not the speech of a Christian. That's right. That's the speech of the accuser of the brethren. Amen. Hello? Be watchful for the accuser of the brethren. Okay? Look what happens. This spirit, this Jezebel, this woman, had an effect on this mighty man of God, So that we need to be watchful. It doesn't have to be a woman, okay? It's a spirit, okay? So don't, women, don't get all knotted up on me and send me emails. He said he prayed that he might die. Talk about fatalistic person. I just want to die. I just want to be done. No, I got a lot of living to do. If it's my time, it's my time. But until it's my time, I got a lot of things to do. I got a lot of things to do. I want to see this ministry grow. I want to see people saved. I'm not done yet. If it's my time to go, I'm ready to go. But yet, if it's not, I still have a plan and a purpose, because the Word of God in Jeremiah 29 says, I know the plans I have for you to give you hope and peace, like we just read. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Hello? Amen. So if he knows the plans, the thoughts of good and hope and peace, that means we're to be light shiners onto your life and to people. But there's going to be people that are trying to take and kill and destroy and pull you out of the ministry. Well, that can never happen to me. That's what I thought too. Nothing could ever take me. Nothing could move me aside. It can happen. And I was so naive. I was so ignorant to it. Now, you don't hear this going on in teaching anymore, and that's why I'm just going to teach it. I'm going to preach it. Because people just, well, it's that's just you. No, it can happen. There's a verse that's popping in my head, but I can't remember all of it. Be careful lest you... lest you stand, take heed, lest you fall. I fell. Like Peter, I fell. And I don't want any of this to happen to you. You got to be watchful for this. He says, it's enough. In other words, he's had enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my stepfather's. In other words, he was putting himself down. Can I teach you something today? Stop putting yourself down. I want to encourage you today. You listen to my voice today. Stop putting yourself down. Get in your word. Get in your prayer time. Know that you're born again. And if you're not born again, you need to get born again. You need to get right with God and quit playing around. Give your heart to the Lord. Repent, turn, and get in His word. But you still have a plan and a purpose. Amen? Amen. And when people keep putting you down, how many have people put you down? All the time. Well, be careful. Because if those fiery darts get in there and you start believing that you're nobody, that you're not somebody, that you don't think you're able, that you're no better than anybody else, that gets in there, you know what it does? Gets in here. Remember we were talking about creating me a pure heart, O God, creating me and renew me in a steadfast spirit. You start getting it from here. You allow them things here to get here. Now I'm teaching you, if it gets from here and it gets to here, now you have a heart condition. Yeah. Because out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. Yeah. And you're on this slippery slope, and it all goes back to watching who you listen to. Bad company corrupts good morals. If you got people not encouraging you to go to church, your family and friends and people you know, if they really loved you and care about you, they should be welcome and glad like you are, according to Psalms 122, that the church doors were open. Yeah. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. Yeah. If they're not glad for you, find some new friends. Yeah. Oh, that's some hard preaching. You shouldn't teach that, preacher. You're supposed to be all loving and kind. Yeah, but you know what? You're either for me or you're against me. You're either helping build the kingdom or you're tearing down the kingdom. There's a distinction that has to be made where we've got to know that there is evil out there in the land. And it's time to take a stand. Like I told you, Goliath ain't liking me too much. Hello? I'm talking to some disciples tonight. This ain't no candy. This is spiritual warfare. You got to get ready. Amen. He says, then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, here's the good news. God was looking after him. He knows the plans he had for him and the thoughts and to give him hope and not to think evil of him. God knew where he was at, even though Elijah was sitting under a broom tree waiting to die. God knew where he was at and still had a plan and a purpose. And we're going to see he had initiative for him. He says, then he lay and slept under a broom tree, and suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. my friends that like to stay at home, it's time for you to rise and eat. It's time to get up out of that mess, just like I said on Sunday. This pastor cares enough to not walk to the side of you this way like the Levite, or that side of you like the priest. This preacher and the other ministers here at the River are sitting here with a hand to help you up. Not a hand out, a hand up. We're also messengers of God with a word for you that you may arise and eat. We know what it's like to be in the ditch, and I know what it's like to be under the broom tree. I know what it's like to have the attacks come. I know what it's like to have the people put you down and talk bad about you when you're just trying so hard to get right with God. You're seeking after God. You're desperate for God, but yet the people keep putting you down and putting you down and putting you down, and you're trying to make a difference. This River, this ministry, this church is here. We've got food. Anybody can feed you with a cheeseburger. Got it. But here's where you find sustenance. As messengers of God, as ambassadors of the Lord, as ministers who take this seriously. We don't get paid for doing this. We do this out of the love because we know people that are separating themselves and under a broom tree, and you need help. And you all know people right now that are sitting at home under broom trees, and they need help. We must be like the Samaritan and go get them, the ones that have drifted off the course and are drowning from Sunday. They're drowning, folks, all over this land. Some of them don't even know they're drowning. And we also have some people that have isolated themselves that think they've done so much wrong. They've been convinced that somebody said something bad about them. They've been convinced from some other church member putting doubts in their head and the junk going on and pulling them away from the ministry. I'm speaking to you. You're dealing with spirits and people that are not on your side. Hello? It's time to get real enough because we're running out of time and people just want, oh, it'd be okay, come on back here, have a water, have a cheeseburger, come to church, we'll see you on Sunday. No, you're running out of time. We're here to help right now using this resource. I'm supposed to be teaching, but I'm preaching to say, listen, we got to go, we got to move, we got to do something for the Lord and be encouragers and say, there's people dying out there. They're drowning. They're thinking about suicide. They think they're not worthy anymore, and you're worthy to God. He knows the plans He has for you to give you hope in a future. You have a future. So if you're under the broom tree and you think it's all over, you think it's all done, no. God has sent me to tell you there's hope, there's peace, there's a plan, and God thinks good things of you. Come on, church. Amen. That's the message of hope that says you've not done so much wrong. There is value to you.
That's right. Amen.
If it can happen to a mighty man of God like Elijah, it can happen to anybody. If you let it in.
That's right.
If you let fear in. If you let doubt in. If you let people bad talk you and you take it into your mind and your heart and you let it dwell around your brain, go, well, I guess maybe I'm not called. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. He's seen God move in his whole life. He's healed. He's laid hands on the sick. And, yeah, I'm just a nobody. That's not you. You listen to me? You're somebody. You're somebody. Don't let people talk you down anymore. Stand strong, arise and eat, and know that God's doing a work on you. If you got to be on the potter's wheel, be on the potter's wheel.
Yeah.
But know that you have a plan and a purpose, and you do have a future.
Yes.
Don't stay under the broom tree. I'm here once, twice, whatever it takes to send you a word and use this platform to help you get out from under this situation. Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals, and a jar of water. So he ate and drank, and he laid down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." In other words, you need some help. There's too many people these days that are like Peter, that are scrambling in the water, they're under the broom tree, and they don't want to ask for help. And we're here to help. We're about people. There's people that are addicted to drugs and alcohol and pornography and junk, and their heart's not right. There's a heart condition. And we're here to provide nourishment that you may get healed. God still heals today. Amen? He says, "Arise and eat, because the journey's too great for you." It's too great for me too. I can't do this without the Lord. I couldn't do this without the support of all the ministry and all the people that give and tithe and do the things that help keep the church going and all that. We don't take a salary. We do this for the love of the Lord, but there's still things that we do. We couldn't do this without you.
Amen.
Just because you're not standing up here doesn't mean you're not important, because you are.
That's right.
Can I encourage you that you have a purpose, that you have a plan? If you're meant to be up here, then praise God, get up here. You can have my spot. That's what Pastor Burkhart would do for me. He'd call me, say, "It's my time," but nope, it's your time. Be ready in season, out of season. That's where I got my training. Amen? I don't worry about that. Because he instilled in something in me that said, you have a plan and a purpose. You have a calling. And if you have that calling, then listen, I'll talk to Pastor here. You get up here. But until then, I'm going to use this resource to encourage each one of you that you come here, you're important to God.
Right.
You're important to the river. You supporters, and even liking this page or sharing the broadcast, do you realize that you have a great reward in heaven because you're helping share the gospel of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Even with a simple share and like, smiley face, little hearts, you're encouraging to share the gospel. So he rose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. Listen, this kind of word will sustain you. And when you have the fiery darts and people are coming against you, you remember this preacher telling you that you're somebody.
Amen.
When you're thinking about quitting, you remember somebody's praying for you. You know that you've got a number or somebody you can call. You can have those thoughts in your head going, "Well, I'm not important. I'm just not. I don't know much. I don't know." No, you know enough. You're born again. You're a child of the Most High God.
Amen.
Amen. Those darts are going to come, and remember this message when they come, because you can say, "Not anymore." You know, sometimes we hear stuff and it kind of bounces, but then sometimes, you know, people say that sticks and stones may break my bones, but how's that go? Words will never hurt me. You sure about that? Words do hurt. And people do hurt. And there's people that have been out of church because they heard something that wasn't even about them or off kilter. Or someone pulling them out of church, and somebody thought this or thought that instead of going to the source, and they assume things, and it just snowballs into this big thing. Words do hurt. But these words heal.
Amen?
And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. I'm not even going to get to those other scriptures tonight. And he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Can I ask you? You're in the Warsaw area. You're in this community. What are you doing home? If you're working, I got it. But if you're listening to me on the radio and you're driving by on Highway 15, pull in 6:30 p.m. If you're home tonight and you're not working second shift and you're available, Can I invite you to the river? What are you doing there? What are you doing at home? Come. Remember Sunday morning? Jesus says, come. And Peter said, if that's really you, Jesus is Lord. And he's telling me to tell you, come. Get out of your comfort zone. Get in a place where you belong. Get into a place where people will lift you up and encourage you in your walk. Get in a place where you don't have to feel isolated anymore. You don't have to go to the bottle and numb yourself to death and numb yourself to sleep. You don't have to deal with those things of all the addictions. You can be free in Jesus' name. Amen, church? Do you know people that need to hear this word, that need to know that they're actually loved on this earth? I know there's a lot of bad stuff going on, and I know I'm trying to teach, and I might be preaching. But there's some people that need to know that they're important to God. They have a plan and a purpose. Amen? But I don't want to forget about you either. Because too many times in my walk, people will take others for granted. And I want to make sure that you know that you're loved. Amen. And if you're watching secretly, and I don't even know you're watching, know that you're loved, and we want to see you here at the river. Amen. Because we know what it's like to be in the water. We know what it's like to be in those hard situations. We know what it's like to have those words said bad against you. And it's hard to get rid of some of those hurts. When people have hurt you in church, there's no greater hurt than church hurt. When you think that you have a confidant you can confide in, you think you have somebody who's an elder or been in the ministry a long time or whatever, and they talk bad about you, those things hurt. Words do hurt. And you can come to the river and get healed of that. Trust me. Because we have the oil. And we have the bandages. And I'm not even going to get to the rest of the scriptures because I've run out of time. So we'll have to cover that in the next part of the series next time. Because we're getting our fire back. We're getting our spark back of doing what we're called to do. To be encouragers, to set the captives free. And there's some people captive in their own homes. There's people captive because of a bottle, because of a drug, because of a smoking something. They're captive, and it's time for you to get free and get really free so that you may live a life that's pleasing and wonderful and joyful with peace and purpose in your life. Are there still going to be storms? Yeah. Every one of us knows there's still going to be storms. But it's a lot better when you can go through them with people that care about you. Amen. Amen. So we have an expectation. Why? Because we're seeking Lord today. From the very beginning of the message, I talked about seeking the Lord with all your heart. And I'm seeking the Lord for open doors of ministry. And he says he'll give you the desires of your heart. And my heart's desire is to see you this Sunday at 10 a.m. I pray that the Lord would help encourage you and we find a way to help you get back on track with the Lord. Get your fire back. Get things right with the Lord. Make a new day. Make a new start. Let's make a new covenant to be one with the Lord and to seek after him and know that we've got a past, but yet God can wash us of that. And he can renew that steadfast spirit. Amen? God bless you. We'll be expecting to see you 10 a.m. Sunday morning. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at the River, you can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.